Good morning.
Welcome to Village Baptist Church. My name is Haley Boggs. I'm a longtime member of this church, and today is actually my last Sunday before I leave for college. So, yes. So before we get into our announcements this morning, I would just like all of us to greet one another with a handshake, and we're going to do passing of the peace, so you can simply say, peace be with you, and with you, you can just say good morning, whatever your heart desires this morning. So with that, we'll all welcome each other, and then we will have a song. Quite a few announcements this morning. Activity bags are available for kids 10 and under in the back of the sanctuary as we are putting a temporary hold on Children's Church for now. Next, we have our church picnic coming up on September 10th. And so make sure to mark your calendars. And we also have a little insert in the bulletin today that you can place in the offering box to let us know how many people are coming, and if you want to bring a dish. We also have a survey about the pastoral search process currently available, so you can either check your email or we have paper copies on the back table, and then you can return them to the black box that's also on the back table. Today we have a quarterly business meeting after worship. Please check your email for the links for corresponding documents. We would like to welcome this morning Dr. Robin Aparicio. Thank you so much for coming to preach this morning. And last, second to last, we have cupcakes after church this morning that our lovely Sunday school teachers, Miss Denise and Miss Lauren, brought as Tony Graham and myself are both leaving for college this week. And then our last thing is Beloved Community Initiative is going to the March on Washington next week on Saturday. And Ms. Karen, did you want to say something about that? Thank you. This is the day the Lord has made.
morning. I am Dorothy Chestnut, your deacon for this morning. And now it is time for our prayer concerns. If you have prayer concerns, we will listen to them now, after which our guest minister will offer the prayer. Anyone offer prayer? We want to also pray for the teachers that's back in school teaching our young people and our college students, and that they would be good listeners and they would take to heart what they are being taught in this day and age. Now we'll have the Reverend pray. Please.
Good morning again. I know that we have heard some prayer requests this morning, and perhaps there are those who have not uttered the prayers, concerns, but still have them. We want to take them all to God, and for those who watch virtually as well. So let us bow and pray together. Lord God, we thank you first for this day. For as we have already declared, this is the day that you have made, and we've made the decision to be glad in it. Through all of the ups and downs and all of the struggles, God, we lay them all at your feet. Now, God, we know that you have already heard our concerns and knew them even before we uttered them, God. But as a collective, God, we come to you praying, God, for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, praying, God, for those who are still catching their healing, who are struggling, those who've gotten recent diagnoses that are disturbing. God, we pray for those who are struggling to get their lives back together due to disaster, due to the climate change, which is so swiftly upon us. We pray, God, for those who woke up and found out that someone had passed or decided to go one way, and that way was the way of foolishness. And God, we pray also that you would continue to keep us and watch over us. We pray, God, in celebration for those who are going back to school. It is another opportunity for them to grow, not only physically, but also mentally and also spiritually. We pray, God, that as your word declared, that if we would train them up in the way that they would go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. So we pray, God, that as our children go to school, particularly those who are going away to school, that they are reminded in all of the acts that we do for them, that they are forever bound to us, that they are forever a part of this beloved community, that they don't leave home, but that they may be going into another place to study, but that their home is always welcoming and available to them. We pray, God, for those requests that have not been uttered. For you, O God, know the deep recesses of our heart. You know, O God, our moanings and our groanings in the wee hours. And God, we call it a privilege to be able to come together as a collective to not only worship you, but to also offer up our concerns. For indeed, God, you know and you care about all of our concerns. And so, God, we end our prayer with a blessing to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's time for the children's story. Anybody else? I'm glad you came up. I apologize for the mask. I've been fighting with a cold, and I don't want to share that with you. And it has nothing to do with the children's story. What I wanted to talk about today is that. You know what that is, right? Now, if I offered this to you, would you accept it? Why? It's money. Well, what does that mean? What did you do with money? Buy something. Right, of course. All right, now, just a minute. Now it's all crumpled up. Would you still want it? Why? Because it's still money. Even though it's crumpled up, it's still money. It still has value. Ew. Now it's smushed and dirty. Would you still want it? Why? Because it's still money. It still has value. That's exactly right. Well, Jesus did not talk about dollar bills. He talked about sparrows. And what he said and what he would say if he were here talking about dollar bills is, you are more valuable than a dollar bill. And like the dollar bill, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. Doesn't matter who your parents are. Doesn't matter how many of these dollar bills you're carrying around with you. God still thinks you're valuable. You are a child of God. And that applies to everybody. You know, I saw a bumper sticker not too long ago that I really liked. It said, God loves you, whether you like it or not. And I thought that was appropriate because it's true. God loves everybody. So every time you see a dollar bill, it can be a reminder that you are more valuable than a dollar bill because you are a child of God. Sound like a reasonable thing to do? Let's say a quick prayer. Lord, we thank you that you're there for us, that you love us all, that we can count on you to be there for us, and that in your eyes, we are all valuable. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Of course, it wouldn't be fair not to give you a dollar then. So, one for you, and one for you, and one for you, and one for you. Everybody who comes up here counts as a child. Thank you for coming up.
Yeah, everything is alright when we come together.
Thank you. Today, our scripture reading is from the book of John in the Common English Bible. It's verses, John's second chapter, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They don't have any wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My time hasn't come yet." His mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby were six stone water jars used for the Jewish cleansing ritual, each able to hold about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some from them and take it to the head waiter," and they did. The head waiter tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the groom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first. They bring out the second-rate wine only when the guests are drinking freely. You kept the good wine until now." This was the first miraculous sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word.
Good morning again. Thank you for reading my scripture this morning. And thank you for this opportunity. I always like to pause to first thank God, because God always knows, even when you say, "No, not me, God." God always knows. So I always am appreciative of the opportunity to speak in front of God's people. But thank you so much for your hospitality. Indeed, this is a beloved community. I felt welcome as I came in. You know, the scripture says, if you don't feel welcome, to shake the dust off and move on. That was not the case here. This morning, I was greeted from the very front of the door onto, and thanks so much, Ms. Thompson, for showing me the ropes. I bring you greetings from Covenant Baptist Church, where Pastor William Young is our pastor in D.C. I also bring you greetings from the D.C. Baptist Convention, where Dr. Mannerin is our executive director, and I am the new older adult ministry coordinator. So I'm really happy to be a part of that organization. So the scripture has already been read in your hearing. Let us begin with prayer. So pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for continuing to keep and watch over us. Thank you for your word alive, God, for you promised that your word would never come back void. So may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our redeemer. I read an article not too long ago about Trevor Noah. Many people know Trevor Noah to be the South African comedian who had been running The Daily Show on cable until recently. Trevor Noah was born to a black mother and a white father in the apartheid era in South Africa. And Trevor wrote a book called Born a Crime. And in this article, he was saying that, you know, he thought he would be the hero of his story, because after all, it was a memoir. But as he began to put it all together, he really began to see that it was actually his mother who was the hero of his story. He said, "I was standing in the shadow of a giant. And that her magic dust, I'm just hoping it'll be enough for me to be as brave and courageous as she was and continues to be." He said that she began, as he pulled it together, he had to mark the fact that she was arrested for being with his father. that she converted to Judaism, that she was someone who always had this thirst and this quest for new knowledge, and that spilled over into his life. He said he owed his success to Patricia Noah, the woman who stood behind the scenes as his career continued to blossom, and that he even got his sense of humor from her. She was some person, a person who was just determined not to go and live her life by anybody else's standard, but to live the life that she believed that she had the right to live. And so he attributes his success to his mother's success. Now, much can be said about a mother's wisdom, right? We know that many people, particularly on Mother's Day, no shade, but remember how wonderful it is to have a mother, though some who struggle with not having a mother. But in this instance, we get to see a story about not only a mother's wisdom, but a mother's strength in the story that is laid out by John. He lays it out by highlighting that this is the time of Jesus's beginning his ministry. This is the point where it all started, and how unusual that his first miracle was at a wedding, right? The Gospel of John sets it up by telling us that this miracle happened on the third day. The first day he was baptized. The second day he began to gather his disciples. And on this third day, he went to a wedding. At the wedding was Jesus' mother. John does not call her name, but we're going to call her name Mary. His disciples and Jesus were invited to this wedding. And verse 3 tells us that the wine ran out. The traditional Jewish wedding happens over 7 days, so we don't know what day this was, but we do know that a social faux pas has occurred. This is a potential disaster. This is like your aunt bringing glazed carrots instead of her usual sweet potato or candied yams on Thanksgiving. The gossip will run for at least 20 years. Weddings are unions formed not just between two people, but it really brings families together and it brings communities together in important ways. So it is fitting that the sealing of the deal of marriage is a time of celebration. It's a happy occasion. The community becomes the final witness to this declaration. The couple has already said yes to each other. Families have met. The venue for the wedding has been set. Color schemes have been established. The clothing, the wedding party, all of these things have been selected. Invitations have gone out, unless this is a Nigerian-style wedding, where they don't send out invitation because the whole community, the beloved community, is invited. Part of what makes the wedding celebration so sweet is that the planning is over. And as I looked at the two lovely ladies dancing this morning, I saw, oh yes, how appropriate. This is what would happen at the wedding. They would have people coming in, dancing and celebrating and starting rearing us up and getting us all cheered. You notice how we began to clap when they finished because it was such a lovely expression. We are drawn into this scene, which should be beautiful, but there's a problem. There's no wine. There is some tension. Tension for the reader, tension for probably some who are listening, who are trying to figure out, how did the Holy Jesus get pulled into a situation like this? For some of us, this is no big deal. They've already drank all of the wine is gone. They'll still be partying into the night if you've ever been to a wedding like I've been in. There seems to be some tension here between mother and son. And any parent will understand that as your child grows, there's going to be some tension. Tension for the head waiter or for the wedding planner of our time, that everything needs to go according to plan, similar to church leaders and ministry leaders who help plan the important programs in the church. There's tension that things will not go right. There's tension in some of the community who understands what it's like to feel lack when the key ingredient, be it joy or justice or hope, be it dignity or faith or even love, might be missing. But God meets us in the tension. The first sign of Jesus' glory is not a healing miracle. It's meeting a social need. It's not feeding the hungry. It's providing wine to those who may already be tipsy. How audacious, how surprising that this story would be in here, particularly as people think about libation, wine, legalized marijuana, I'm just saying. In the midst of the messiness of life, God's power is coming through. God does not stop at the door or say, oh, I can't go in. They might be drunk, or I can only meet them at church. I dare you to invite Jesus into every part of your life, into the chaos, into the not so perfect spaces. We don't have to dress up. We don't have to know that there's 66 books in the Bible. And we don't even have to know how the prayer wheel turns. Just as I am, the songwriter declares, without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me, with many conflicts, many doubts, fighting fears within and without. It is the Lamb that we call on. O Lamb of God, I come. Mary, the mother of Jesus, recognizes this issue and simply says to Jesus, the wine has run out. She takes the problem to the Lord and she leaves it there. She doesn't offer up a suggestion on how it can be fixed. She doesn't say, Jesus, you need to do something. She states the problem. And I feel that there's a lesson here for us, because sometimes we will state our problem, but we also will state the solution on how things should go. But Mary gives us the example because she knew the concern, she understood it, and she simply told him what it was. The other thing, the other tension, is in the scripture where Jesus says, woman, what concern is that to me? It is not my time. Now, I hasten to suggest that in our context, that would not be acceptable. But in that context, it was not something that was an offense. But here, I would say, had I heard that as the mother, it would have been a snap of the head. It would have been a hand on the hip. It would have been, excuse me, who do you think you're talking to kind of moment, right? Because we know Mary. Weren't we with Mary from the beginning when the angel Gabriel said to her, favored one? And weren't we there when she was told that she would bear a son? And when she had to tell Joseph and hope that God would talk to him too? Weren't we there when she was in labor and had to deliver in a stable? Weren't we there when she lost Jesus and had to retrace their steps and only to find him sitting in the temple? Perhaps Jesus was just shocked. Maybe it wasn't in his time frame, and he wasn't thinking about miracles going to a wedding. Maybe she gave him the look. You know the look. The look that says, do you know how long I was in labor with you? The look that says, why is there still dishes in my sink? You know the look. Some of us have given the look. Some of us has received that look. And that look moves us into action. Mother Mary told him about the issue, and she just trusted that he would do something about it. because Mary has pondered many things in her heart concerning the Savior of the world. She has faith in him, and she understands the time. She understood that the newlyweds should not have to deal with shame or disgrace. But Jesus said, "It's not my time." But perhaps Mary knew before Jesus did that it indeed was his time to shine. Because there are people in our lives who see our potential, who know it is time before we even do. Someone to give us the push that we need. Someone to say, "Have you considered college?" Someone who can say, "I see something special in you," and push you into a direction. But Jesus gets the point. And so Mary, she moves on and she instructs the waiters and she says, "Whatever he tells you to do, that's what you do." And Jesus instructs the servant, "Fill up those 20 to 30 gallons with water to the brim." Those large barrels were usually traditionally used for guests to be washed up before they came into the event. But now it is going to be used for a totally different purpose. And the issue for us this morning is not being empty, though many are. It's not feeling depleted, though I dare say, village, some of us are. And it's not even that our resources are running low, though that might be the case too. The issue is whether or not we will go to Jesus to fill us when that wine runs out. If we will declare, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up and make it whole." Because Jesus will fill up your cup. Mary is confident that he will act. And you too can be confident that Jesus will act on your behalf, will intercede for you. And I know I am right about it. Jesus takes an empty and inadequate situation and makes the best of it. He takes that water and he makes it into wine. So we don't have to wonder and worry. We have to just give it up to Jesus. Because once it is in God's hands, that's the place of miracles, turning a little into a lot. I brought what I had, some health, strength, a little bit of sense. And God continues to exceed my expectations in quantity and in quality. Everyone at that wedding was affected by this miracle. The couple, the head waiter, the waiters, the guests, the disciples, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus told those servants to give that sample to the head waiter. And somehow the miracle happened between verse 7 and verse 8. We don't know what Jesus did. We are told he spoke it and it happened. And by the time that head waiter got that sample, it was wine. And not only was it wine, it was the best wine. And it was a wine in abundance. In the Judean apocalyptic literature, wine is a symbol of the Masonic age of peace and righteousness. And so Jesus is ushering in peace and righteousness with his first miracle. He pulls out something new into an old tradition of a wedding. And so I want to encourage you to think that God will continue to challenge our thinking of what should be, of who should be, of who should be doing what, that God continues to do a new thing in our lives. God will meet you in the tension, turning your scarcity into abundance. As King David said, "I was young, but now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed beg bread." And I dare say that is a testimony in this space. I dare say it. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But I do believe that many of you can attest to the fact that I was young, and now I'm older, right? Not old. I'm older, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen their seed beg bread. I've never seen it. That God continues to be with us, even in the rough and the rocky. God is there in the midst, because God meets us in the tension. So thank you, God, for meeting us at our point of need. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come so that we would have life, and that we would have life more abundantly. Amen. Thank you again for allowing me to fellowship with you and hear the benediction. May the strength of God sustain us, the power of God preserve us, the hand of God protect us, the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forever. Amen.